The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
New York City's Mayor Zohran Mamdani flexed his political muscle last night. CBS News now projects all three candidates endorsed by the Democratic Socialists will win their primaries. Brad Lander currently has a comfortable lead over two-term Congressman Dan Goldman in New York's 10th District. Daria Liza Chevalier is the projected winner in the District 13 race. And in Congressional District 7, Claire Valdez is projected to replace Congresswoman Nydia Velasquez.
As the New York Times says this morning, Mamdani showed he can be a kingmaker.
Bernie Sanders and Zohran Mamdani are flexing the socialist muscle for some New York comrades. And by the way, they would not be insulted with that reference. The two progressive firebrands joining forces at a rally in Brooklyn, backing a slate of socialist House candidates in New York. But their ambitions stretch far beyond the Empire State. Sanders and Mamdani are openly pressuring Democrats to embrace their socialist vision. Watch.
What the mayor is doing here should be done all over this country. That is the message reverberating all across this country in small towns and large cities.
Now, people often ask me what I think of the state of the Democratic Party. This slate here today is our answer. The Democratic Party must change. We need a Democratic Party with backbone. A Democratic Party that offers an affirmative agenda without apology.
Kaylee, after the last election in 2024, I thought we would see a Democratic Party that would move closer to the center overall, collectively, and have somebody with charisma and military background. That's what I thought you learned from it. But I am shocked, and maybe so were Democratic established as the establishment, that the money and the enthusiasm is behind outright socialists.
The DSA, the Democrat Socialists of America, are organized. And we are increasingly seeing that. There was a great Washington Post opinion piece today that walks through that. 200 chapters is what the DSA has, 100,000 members.
Tulsi Gabbard released hundreds and hundreds of pages of declassified documents that she says shows a massive COVID-19 cover-up. The documents show intelligence officials weighing the lab leak theory as early as March of 2020. One official wrote that policymakers were hearing claims the virus was, quote, genetically engineered. Another asked, it's possible it could have been engineered, right? Gabbard points to whistleblower allegations that intelligence analysts who supported the lab leak theory, well, they face professional consequences and retaliation. The documents also focus on U.S. taxpayer-funded COVID research tied to China. According to the records, EcoHealth Alliance received funding from the National Institutes of Health for a project called, quote, Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence. The documents identify the Wuhan lab as a research partner and show at least $66,500 in U.S. grant money was spent in China. Now, one of the most explosive claims made is that Fauci allegedly lied under oath during his 2024 congressional testimony, where he denied knowledge of discussions with U.S. intelligence officials about that COVID-related research.
The second issue is a false accusation that I tried to cover up the possibility that the virus originated from a lab. In fact, the truth is exactly the opposite.
And we have tried to reach out to Fauci for comment about these documents and allegations. We reached out to the Georgetown Global Health Institute, still waiting to hear back.
This week, we've been talking about that verse in Hosea 5, the sickness in Ephraim, and how that Brexit didn't solve the problems. It's Britain is still sick. And you see that in America as well. Yesterday, we taped a program on Make America Great Again, the slogan that Donald Trump came out with strongly in 2016, going back 10 years. And my father wrote a book. He wrote a book that summer of 2016 called Great Again, And President Trump, his people, they came out with a book that went by the same title. And yet the messages in both books are very different. And in Great Again, you know, my father praises President Trump because he really does. He sees the evil of the radical left. But then as this book goes on to point out, the radical left, its influence, and you see it there in the cold open. And it's not, by the way, it's not just that they're socialists and they're winning elections. They also hate Israel. That's not covered as much in the news cycle. They love socialism and they hate Israel. That's right. Blue states are still blue. And then you see Tulsi Gabbard. She releases all of these documents, declassifies them, exposing Tony Fauci, who at one point was the highest paid government official in the United States. He was on the talk shows 3, 4, 5 times a day, just 5, 6 years ago. And he's exposed as a fraud, a liar. A massive cover-up. Miranda Devine says maybe some crimes are so big that people just don't want to even go there. Well, I think it's more than that, because the media and everyone that's part of the cover-up, they're complicit. I've talked about that this week as well. These momentous events in 2016, 17. Jeroboam, Brexit, the revelation about the new throne of David, and also the rolling coup triggered by the dear leader, Barack Obama. He's still around. CBS is still talking about his legacy. He's got the big presidential library, the speech he gave last week. Two Americas, as we've said this week. Two Americas, that's really what's talked about in this book, Great Again. Can't believe it's been 10 years since this came out. It came out even before President Trump was voted in there in late 2016. Hello and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots to get to. Hopefully we can squeeze in some time for another segment from Eugene, Oregon. We had the Daily Pilgrimage program. It's going to be a Key of David show at some point. But we've played, 10, 12 minutes of the opening of that show, and we've got another 18 minutes lined up for today, assuming I don't go too long. I already went long with the monologue, so we'll see how we go, and perhaps we can squeeze that in at the end of today's program. But as I say, yesterday we recorded a show for the Key of David, Make America Great Again. It's going to play over the July 4th weekend. A really important subject to think about as we get ready for America's 250th birthday. 250 years since America's founding. And are we better than we were 250 years ago? Are we more morally upright? Are we closer to God? Are we digging into our Bibles more? Are we more religious? Or is it just talk about religion? Like we've said this week, the sickness is still there, and it's spreading, actually. This is in the early part of Great Again. My father says, do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Because all of these socialists that hate Israel, that are winning elections in the New York area, they don't believe that. They don't believe America has been a positive force for the world. It's just the opposite. And people that hate America and that think America's been a negative force in the world, they're winning elections in America. Unbelievable. He says, do you have a favorable view of the founding fathers, the Constitution, separation of powers, rule of law, manifest destiny, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, free market economy, and America's role in World Wars I and II? When that manufacturing giant kicked in, look at what it was able to accomplish. Two world wars. And then winning the Cold War on top of that. And then the most benevolent, giving country in the world. Look at how much money goes out from America to the other nations of this world. Is that one of America's big flaws? And don't get me wrong, America has its flaws, of course. But like we bring out in the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine, July of this year, look at the blessings that the whole world has benefited from because of the blessings God poured down upon Manasseh, this great nation. Do you have a favorable view of this history? It says, if you do, then surely you're deeply alarmed by the state of America today. All these pillars of American history and identity are being vilified and destroyed. America's educators are teaching oncoming generations to be embarrassed by them. Even the nation's leaders see them as shameful. On many foundational issues, they share the views of America's worst enemies. These are the ones winning elections, the socialists in these blue states or blue cities. They're winning elections because they hate America, and they agree more with Hamas and Iran than they do little Israel in the Middle East, than they do with Bibi Netanyahu. Is this really happening? Is this really possible? My father says here, there's a spiritual dimension to America's decline that most people don't see. The crisis facing this nation is not because of a bad president. It's not because of Barack Obama. It's not because of Donald Trump. The crisis, there's a spiritual dimension to it. And it gets back to the sin question. That cover of the latest Trumpet, how America became great. You see it there. How did we become great? And for Donald Trump to say in 2016, let's make America great again. Well, that in itself, that slogan shows that at one time there was greatness. There was power. There was prosperity. There was strength. And then what happened? And of course, now that Donald Trump is back in, there are those that say, well, the greatness has returned. We're in a golden age. We'll probably hear that over the next couple weeks. You've already heard about the religious resurgence. But how many in America understand and know what it was that made America great in the first place? It's like my father asks in that latest issue. You see it there on the screen. If you don't know why you became great, how can you possibly remain great? If you don't even, we produce this landing page or a promotion pointing to that issue of the Trumpet, and it just lays out all the things that most people don't know about why America became great. They don't know about the promises that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12. And he just repeats them in Genesis 17 and on through Genesis. Genesis 48. They don't know. They don't know that the Constitution, the Declaration, those founding documents that are still around, they're not being upheld like they once were, but they don't know. Most Americans don't know. They were based on biblical teachings, biblical principles. They don't know that God just gifted us the choicest piece of property on earth. When you look at the rivers, the climate, the farmland, the things that we don't even have to worry about, like they would, let's say, in the north of Canada or in Russia or other nations where it's too hot or too this. God just gave Manasseh everything. Look at this great land. And as Mr. Armstrong covers in the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, once God fulfilled his promise to pour these blessings down upon us, now there was a delay, 2,520 years delay. That's in Prophecy 2. That's discussed in U.S. and Britain. And then you get to the early 1800s, you get to the Louisiana Purchase, you get to the British Empire just exploding onto the scene. Ephraim, Manasseh. The sun has already set on Ephraim, and we've been discussing that this week. But does Jeroboam, or any administration for that matter, does that remove the spiritual sickness in the United States? No, it's still there. 250 years since America's founding during the Civil War. That goes back over 160 years ago. America, this great nation, was teetering on the edge, divided, bitterly divided, and weak. It really was a nation that was hanging in the balance, its fate hanging in the balance. And of course, its president at that time was the great Abraham Lincoln, one of the two best presidents this nation has ever had. And this man actually called for a day of fasting and prayer because he told the nation, we're dying. We're dying. He said, and whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon. Humble sorrow. Do you see much of that in the leadership of America today? Do you see much of that in Washington, D.C.? Do you see humble sorrow in these elections, that these primaries that played out in New York? And to recognize the sublime truth, listen to this, announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, said Lincoln. It's in the Bible, and it's proven throughout history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. So if God is not your Lord and Master, what Lincoln said in 1863 means that you're not going to be blessed. You're going to be cursed. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We forgot God. We have forgotten God. This was one of America's greatest presidents. And he said this more than 160 years ago. What would he say today? Have we gotten closer to God? Some would say yes, unbelievably. Some actually would say yes. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. We have vainly imagined that we did this, that we made ourselves great. Yeah, okay, we stumbled upon this great land that was largely uninhabited for thousands of years. And then there it was, this breadbasket. From sea to shining sea. But the American ingenuity, that's special. Look at how great we are. We made this great nation. God actually promised that this nation would be great in Genesis 12. And most people don't even know anything about that. God gave us this great land. Abraham Lincoln knew that, but most people today don't acknowledge that. God gave us all these many blessings. Abraham Lincoln knew that, but most people in America today don't know that. And Abraham Lincoln also knew that if we squander these blessings and we forget God, then God will come in and remove them. Like it says in Hosea 2, verses 8 through 10, read it. It says, you don't know that I gave you all the corn and the oil and the blessings. They forgot God. That's what Hosea 2 speaks of. And we're doing the same thing today. Squandering away all these blessings and gifts from God, taking credit for them ourselves, and then refusing to see that curses are setting in. That's right. Jew hatred, that'll win you an election. In a dark blue state, for sure. That's the big reveal from last night. Politico says the sheer scale of what happened in New York is historic. Nationally, this is a massive boon for the democratic socialist movement. The old institutional left is hollowed out. The democratic socialists of America have proven to be the only real mobilizational force left on the ground. They love them some socialism, and they hate the Jews. What a combination! Who could have imagined this happening in the United States of America, 250 years on from the founding? Is this what George Washington envisioned? Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison? Far from it. They love socialism. And they hate Israel. It used to be that in this land, it used to be that in America, universally, we opposed socialism and we supported Israel. But not so anymore. Is that a good change? Is that going to make America great again? Is that going to make this country better? Embracing socialism and sticking it to the Jews? I don't think that's a blueprint for making America great again. The Wall Street Journal says all of the candidates endorsed by Mamdani have called for the dismantling of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Just get rid of ICE. Now, that's a campaign talking point that wins elections. In New York, anyway. They're also highly critical of the Israeli government and the war in Gaza. They don't like it. Now, they don't say anything about October 7. Who cares about that? We just have to get the Jews out of Gaza. The Jews are guilty of genocide in Gaza. That's our position. What about October 7? Don't talk about October 7. That's virtually been erased from Google. Don't you understand this? It's been blotted out. At the Free Press, it says, when asked why uber-progressive candidates from the DSA and other far-left groups are challenging Democrats with solidly progressive voting records, Goldman didn't miss a beat. You know why? Israel. So if you're more in the mainstream of the Democrat Party, well, you better shape up. You got to hate Israel. You got to hate the Jews. If you want to win elections, you have to hate Jews. And the sad truth is, the Republican Party, it's not that far behind. There's plenty of Jew hatred there, too. Tucker Carlson just renounced his membership in the Republican Party. Probably not enough Jew hatred there. Wall Street Journal says she attended a pro-Palestinian rally. This is one of the Mamdani-backed socialists that won the primary. She attended a pro-Palestinian rally in 2023 in New York City the day after the October 7 attacks in Israel. The day after. That's like Bill Ayers. Didn't he have this incredible column that ran? Here, he's a socialist. He's a communist. He loved Barack Obama. Probably wrote Barack Obama's books. And here there's this feature in the New York Times, the same day as 9/11. Here, it's the day after October 7th. So she didn't even have enough sense to say, you know what? They just slaughtered 1,200 Jews, raped them. They burned their villages. They took 250 hostages. Maybe I'm not going to go to the pro-Palestinian rally the next day. No, she went. Less than 3 years ago. And today, well, she won the Democrat primary in New York. I don't even know the lady's name. At the Free Press, it says both Valdez and Lander were gently bolstered by Mamdani and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who have helped turn the issue of Israel into a litmus test for Democrats by railing against the genocide that Israel committed in Gaza and opposing all future military aid to the Jewish state. Israel is the enemy. Israel is the aggressor. Israel is guilty of genocide. That's happening in the United States of America. Happy birthday, America. 250 years on. Who could have imagined this? Even 50 years ago. Forget about 250 years. Just dial it back to the mid-1970s. Would this be a winning strategy if you're trying to get into the House of Representatives? Well, today it is. Today it is. The Wall Street Journal says, because these districts are overwhelmingly Democratic, Tuesday's primary winners are virtually guaranteed victory in the November general election. So Goldman, he had some deranged Trump hatred during the impeachment trials. He was as rabid against Trump as anyone in Congress. And yet yesterday he gets smoked because he doesn't hate Israel enough. He doesn't hate the Jew. He's a Jew. So if you're a Jew in Congress, you better hate the Jews. That's the way it works. If you're gonna win an election in a dark blue district, you better hate America. That quote I gave to you from Great Again. What did my father say? Let me just read it again. Do you believe the United States has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you have a favorable view of the founding fathers? If you do, then surely you're deeply alarmed by the state of America today. Are you alarmed by what's happening in America? Are you alarmed by what is happening in Britain? Are you alarmed by the intense hatred, the deranged hatred of Jews Are you alarmed by the support that many prominent officials show for Hamas and the mullahs and Hezbollah? That's alarming. But most people, they're not paying attention, are they? The New York primary results are poised to double the block of Democratic Socialists of America in Congress. It was easy years ago, wasn't it, when AOC and them came on the scene and you just thought, it's just so crazy. Come on. You can't take them seriously. What they call them, the squad? There were like four or five of them. Ilhan, AOC. Well, now there's more coming. There's more. They're gaining in popularity. Mamdani, Bernie Sanders, they're out there saying, listen, you've got to take a stand against Israel. No more aid to the Jews. And if there's a pro-Palestinian rally somewhere, you better be there. You better be there. The Israelis, they're guilty of genocide. That's where we are today. Politico says, but Mamdani wasn't born in the U.S., making him constitutionally ineligible for the presidency. So there's people that are pushing him forward for president. The dear leader wasn't bad enough. Some people are like, let's just run him. Let's just cause a constitutional crisis, Romer said, describing it as a running joke, though she was not sure everybody's fully joking. Yeah, it's not really a joke now. When it's President Trump joking about a third term, that is a constitutional crisis. When we talk about Mamdani, no, that, listen, look at him. The man is perfect. He hates Jews. He prays with Muslims. That's what America needs. How many people think that way? It's easy to dismiss it and say, well, not the majority, but you look at the results of those elections last night, a lot of people believe it. And then you look at all these revelations coming from Tulsi Gabbard as she left office last week, attending to her husband's health crisis. And she reveals all of these documents that expose Fauci, the intelligence community, the deep state, all the people that Fauci was in contact with, the lies that just went on for years. And what happens? Did they do a deep dive into it at the morning meltdown? No, certainly not. What about the New York Times? No, actually, the New York Times went after Gabbard on Sunday. She's the villain because she revealed these emails and the other things that show that Fauci was a fraud. He was a lawless fraud. He was a fake, a phony, a criminal. And how many times were we treated to him at the podium with President Trump behind him, you know, nodding along? This was the first term. Nobody held to account. Here's a video from Gabbard after releasing the documents on Friday, clip 10.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives. Now, these documents expose Fauci's direct role in influencing and manipulating IC assessments on COVID-19 and how Fauci lied to Congress in 2024 when, under oath, he denied knowledge of or participation in discussions with intelligence officials about viral research. We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins, once again revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth.
And now we know the truth. And what do we hear? Crickets. Nothing. Nothing. Fauci lied to Congress. He was under oath. He was in communication with the intelligence community about this cover-up. He was actively engaged with his team about this cover-up. And the U.S. was funding this research in the Wuhan lab. And he lied. And he said, no, we didn't fund it. No, I wasn't in contact with the intel community. None of that. Miranda Devine at the New York Post. It says here on her, well, she talks about Gabbard releasing the documents. Speaking of Fauci, engaging in a cover-up about the virus's origins in China and lying to Congress about it. Perhaps most disturbingly, he was assisted by the U.S. intelligence community. It's time you know the truth, said Gabbard. These documents, it says, exposing how Dr. Fauci provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab. Worked with politicized elements within the intel community to suppress the truth about his actions and hide the virus's lab leak origins. And he lied to Congress while under oath in 2024. This is a man who lied effortlessly. I mean, it was easy for him to tell a tale, to create a fake narrative, and then to go on all of the news channels and spew those lies. If you have that clip, I think it's number 12. This is Fauci over the course of 3 or 4 years, clip 12.
It likely jumped species from an animal reservoir into humans and now is spreading among humans.
The mutations that it took to get to the point where it is now is totally consistent with a jump of a species from an animal to a human.
Are you calling for the closure of the wet markets?
I think they should shut down those things right away. I mean, it boggles my mind because what we're going through right now is a direct result of that.
And you have animals that come out of the wild that are sold at these open, what they call them, wet markets, where people buy these things for festive dinners or what have you. So there's every reason to believe that jumping of species from an animal reservoir occurred.
So Dr. Redfield was mentioning that he was giving an opinion as to a possibility. But again, there are other alternatives, others that most people hold by.
That the most likely origin is a natural origin from an animal reservoir to human.
What they did is they cleaned out the markets as soon as it turned out that it was clear that there were clusters coming from the market. Which, you know, in typical fashion, I think trying to make sure that things don't get pointed to them, they probably got rid of the animals that were the intermediary hosts there.
The place of origin was not within the market itself.
No, I don't think you could say that. I think you could say we don't know how and where it originated. There are wet markets in Wuhan that are ample opportunity for a virus to jump,
but more likely that it's a natural occurrence from an animal reservoir to a human.
So it came from a wet market, right, in the same place where there's this huge lab
that does all the right. kind of development of exactly what this right. thing is, that's some coincidence.
It's a coincidence, but, you know, there are so many labs all over China that have both labs and wet markets. If it were in Beijing or Shanghai, you'd be saying the same thing. You have a coincidence.
There are no lab leaks that have led to pandemics. So there have been accidents in a lab that happens intermittently. We've had experiences with that in modern times recently. But there have never been a situation where a virus escaped from a lab that's a brand new virus that no one has ever seen before that led to a pandemic. That has not happened.
That last one there, as you see, March of 2023. 3 years on from the big lie, and still, no lab leaks have ever caused a pandemic? No, certainly not. They lie. They get away with lying. No one's prosecuted. Good for Tulsi Gabbard to come out with her 5-minute video together with all of the documents declassified. Miranda Devine says, right on cue, 2 days after the bombshell release on Sunday, the Washington Post ran a 9,000-word hit piece accusing Gabbard of taking instruction from a Hindu cult leader. I got it wrong. It wasn't the New York Times. It's the Washington Post. 9,000 words. What if any of these powerful media outlets would actually do some investigative reporting, not unlike what Miranda Devine often does, and spend 9,000 words on it? Think of the good they could do for their country. It gets back to that quote I gave to you from Great Again. Do you have a favorable view of America and the founders? Do you think America has largely been a force for good in the world today? If so, you're probably disturbed. Meanwhile, the Washington Post did not publish a word about Gabbard's Fauci revelations. Not one word. No. No time for that. No space for that. No interest in that. You could show me 1,000 documents proving that Fauci's a liar, and I'm not going to have one of my reporters get on it. Does Bezos still own the Washington Post? You would think he'd come storming into the newsroom saying, what is going on? A 9,000-word hit piece on Gabbard about her Hindu cult leader? Are you serious? Fauci and gain-of-function research caused a worldwide pandemic that killed millions of people. And then they lied about it. And then they covered it up. And they're still enjoying their nice pension. And Fauci's wife still works for the government. It's no problem. Gabbard's revelations go some way to explaining the surreal disconnect. Fauci is protected by the deep state and its tentacles, which extend deep into the media, academia, and other reputation-enhancing institutions. His close relationships with the intelligence community shielded him from scrutiny as he wielded outsized influence. That's quoting Gabbard. Here's more from her video release, clip 11.
Dr. Fauci's close relationships with the intelligence community enabled him to assume three key roles that shield him from scrutiny. First, Dr. Fauci funded dangerous gain-of-function coronavirus research linked to Big Pharma and their pursuit of universal vaccines. worth trillions of dollars. Second, Dr. Fauci was the behind-the-scenes advisor who, alongside his hand-picked so-called experts, pushed the intelligence community to endorse a natural animal origin to hide his dangerous gain-of-function research that he funded using taxpayer dollars, all of this in a deliberate attempt to cover up the truth and shift the blame and attention away from Fauci's own actions. Third, Dr. Fauci became the nation's pandemic pundit, and he publicly pushed lies, disinformation, and censorship using every platform available.
Perhaps one of the most famous health pundits in history, blaming it on the animals. Yeah, the wet market. Even Cuomo, did you see the last clip? Even Cuomo was like, so it came from animals that's right in the wet market, that's right next door to the Wuhan lab, that's looking at gain of function research that produces the same kinds of viruses. What a coincidence. If you can't laugh, I guess all that's left is crying, because it's sick. It's sick. So much sickness. Joe Biden pardoned Fauci. Remember that? Before he left office, he gave him a blanket pardon. Why? Why would Fauci need a pardon? Well, because he's a criminal. That's why. And Fauci knew this. And Joe Biden knew this. Otto Penn knew it. The dear leader knew it. And they get away with it every single time. That is proof of sickness. Let me just read it again. Great again. We promoted it yesterday on the program we taped. It'll be on the Key of David, not this weekend, but next. Do you have a favorable view of the Founding Fathers, the Constitution, separation of power, rule of law? Do you have a favorable view of the rule of law? My father says, if you do, then surely you are deeply alarmed by the state of America today. Surely you are. All of these pillars of American history and identity are being vilified and destroyed. That book came out 10 years ago. Great again. America, by the way, is going to be great again. But not before we go through the worst time of suffering that this nation has ever gone through. Worse, far worse than what Lincoln was describing in 1863. And God sends the punishment, by the way, because he wants us to turn to him. He's not just up there indiscriminately looking for who he can pound. He's trying to wake us up. He's trying to make us great again, and it starts with repentance. It starts with turning from our wicked ways. You heard in that clip there from Tulsi. Oh, he's in bed with Big Pharma. There's all this gain of function research. And then he's this popular pundit on CNN. He's untouchable. It says here, back in August 2021. Well, let me just skip ahead. Today, the White House is distracted by Iran. So transparency about the role of the intelligence agencies in protecting Fauci and covering up the origins of the pandemic is probably not a priority. That's right. That's another angle here. You know, it's President Trump's DOJ right now. It's President Trump's FBI. President Trump was duped and deceived by Tony Fauci. But, you know, there's other things to think about. Let's not live in the past. Let's just go forward. We're making peace in the Middle East and beyond.
peace is breaking out everywhere. The world is becoming more unified. America's entering into a golden age. America's unstoppable. America's hotter than ever. America is the envy of the world. Well, we can keep saying it until we're blue in the face. Despite Gabbard and Paul, speaking of Rand Paul, despite their efforts, there's a distinct possibility that nobody will be held accountable for what Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy last week called among the most consequential crimes in human history. One of the most consequential crimes in the history of the world. And as Miranda Devine says at the end, maybe some secrets are just too terrible to be told. Maybe some crimes are just too big to be dealt with or prosecuted. Maybe there's some crimes that are just so horrific that we can't even go there. Well, you can probably put together a list in your mind right now. Jeffrey Epstein, the Russia hoax, all of these crimes. Maybe they're just too terrible, too big to actually be dealt with or confronted. And so we move on because, well, the world is getting to be so peaceful, so wonderful. Everybody's unified. Everybody just wants to make a good deal. Everybody just wants a little bit of prosperity. And all these problems will just go away. Here's Fox News on Tulsi's revelations. Clip 9.
This all revolves around this famous moment from May 11th, 2021, where Dr. Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, and Dr. Fauci go around the horn on whether or not the U.S. ever funded gain-of-function research at the WIV. Listen here.
The NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
New support.
We have not funded gain-of-function research on this virus in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I don't know how many times I can say it, Madam Chair. We did not fund gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Remember when Fauci said that anyone who questioned him was questioning science? Remember that? He essentially said, I am science. So whatever I say is true. That was will worship of the highest order. You just believe me. In fact, it was science falsely so-called, as Paul says in 1 Timothy. But there was Fauci, and he had a lot of supporters, a lot of talking heads that said, listen, you do not question him. He's a scientist. He's the highest paid government official. There he was in that Fox clip, lying through his teeth. And it's been exposed several years on. I mean, the punishment, it's never applied to these crimes with swiftness. It just drags on for years and years and years. And because it's not dealt with swiftly, well, they get away with it. They walk away. And they enjoy a nice sunset somewhere in some expensive real estate, I'm sure, enjoying the pension that they have for the rest of their life. Taxpayer dollars. And this is what we get. This is what, these are our leaders. It's like I've been saying in going through Hosea 5. The leaders are a snare. The leaders are the problem, at least a big part of it. The head is sick. Well, the whole body is sick as well. So we all have to look at ourselves.
But just to follow on what I've been saying about Ephraim, the past two programs, you see plenty of evidence still of America's sickness as well. Great Again, by the way, has a wonderful conclusion. I don't have time to get into it as much, but all these chapters, the final chapter, incredible hope in the end. There is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in God's family government. There is hope in the coming kingdom of God. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to, sorry I didn't get to the Eugene segment. I went long as I often do, but maybe tomorrow or Friday's a travel day, so that might be a good day to squeeze that in as well. In any event, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.